Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Monday, February 3rd. Hello from New Orleans here for Super Bowl week. And this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, Super Bowl week has officially begun. It is Monday. We are less than a week away from Super Bowl 59. This time next week, you guys could all be waking up Super Bowl champions if the Eagles can pull off what I think is an upset of the Kansas City Chiefs. They are underdogs in the game. But the big news is the Eagles have arrived in New Orleans. Their plane landed yesterday at right around 2:30-ish, 2:45, I believe, is maybe where it landed. They went to their hotel. They're in New Orleans. And now the craziness begins. We're going to get into their schedule for today. But really, the rest of Sunday and into Monday night, like that is most of the hysteria, I would say. Like they'll have media all week, but media night is really the craziest part from a media perspective. So let's get into what's on the schedule for today. Of course, media night tonight, the Eagles, Eastern Standard Time. New Orleans an hour behind. Kind of silly to be 1 hour behind. Feel like just do Eastern Standard Time. But regardless, the Eagles will be at the podiums tonight from 8 to 9 p.m. So make sure you're tuned into NFL Network. You're checking all your socials. I might go live. Like, let me know if you guys would like if I went live and walked around and showed things. Last time I saw some MMA fighter I thought was a TikToker. So it's always a good time. The Eagles from 8 to 9 p.m. tonight will be at media night. And on the podium, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, Dallas Goedert, Zach Bond, imagine seeing that at the beginning of the year, Darius Slay, Nick Sirianni, and Brandon Graham. So those will be the guys at the podium for the Eagles. The rest of the guys just walk around. Howie normally talks, Jeffrey Lurie normally talks, the assistant coaches are available. So it's a crazy hour for sure. So make sure tonight you're tuned in for that, and we'll of course be talking about it on Tuesday morning in the Daily Pod. So that is 8 to 9 p.m., and then the Chiefs, there's an hour in between. So I believe they're 10 to 11 p.m. We'll get to talk to our buddy Carson. And then for the Chiefs on the podium, Chris Jones, Nick Bolton, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Justin Reed, Trent McDuffie, Isaiah Pacheco, Harrison Butker, that should be an interesting one, DeAndre Hopkins, Andy Reid, and Xavier Worthy. Those will be the guys speaking at the podium for the Chiefs. But like I said, there will also be other players available, like backup quarterback and former franchise quarterback Carson Wentz. So that is tonight from 8 to 11 p.m. But outside of that, later today, 10 a.m., me and James Seltzer live day 29 of the Daily Pods, which is crazy. And then WIP is live from Radio Row all day. So from 10 to 6 p.m., I'll be on and off WIP. I'll be hanging out. I'll be checking in. We'll have guests, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Ike Reese, Spike Esk, and Jack Fritz all down here. So it's a busy day. Like, no more resting around. Last week, you guys got a chance to kind of just revel in the glory of being in the Super Bowl. Now it's time to get to work. It's Super Bowl time. So a lot going on today. And as always, we'll update you on everything that happened. So next up, injury report. Really no new news there. We'll start getting injury reports later in the week. I guess if there was one interesting thing, it's that the last injury report the Eagles did put out, which frankly really doesn't mean much, but Cam and Landon Dickerson weren't even on it. So there's a real world where this week they're full participants each week and they're just a full go for the game. I expect them both to fully play. They'll both have to be available tonight during media night. So we'll get to hear from Landon and Cam to see how they're feeling. But the Eagles enter this game an extremely healthy team. So that is really what's on their schedule for today. Media night tonight's the big one. So what I wanted to do on the last Daily Pod, we talked about, or earlier in the week, I should say, we talked about the game between the Eagles and the Chiefs last time they were in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 57. But the Eagles also played last year. So what I did was I went back and I watched that game, and I just want to share some of my takeaways I have for you from that. So we're going to go over that, and then on the other side of the commercials, we're going to talk about the Eagles' defensive line versus the Chiefs' offensive line. But first, let's talk about the 2023 game. So what's funny is, like, looking back just before I watched it, my initial memory of that game was it was like an ugly, ugly game. And in some ways, it was. I remember being there. It was raining. They can never play this team on a regular surface. I guess we'll find out this Sunday if the surface is regular. But much like it was, you know, a slick surface in Super Bowl 57, it was raining that night in Kansas City. And the offense didn't put up a ton of points, but they did end up scoring more points than I remembered, especially in the second half when I really think Devontae is set for a big game this Super Bowl against the Chiefs. But let's go over just some of the takeaways in the game. So first up, it's just very obvious when you watch that game, they were all over Jalen Hurts from a blitz perspective. So in that game in 2023 in Kansas City, Hurts was blitzed 15 times in 28 dropbacks. He was 5 of 12 for 83 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, an ugly interception too, and a passer rating of 30.9. So not the best game from Jalen against the blitz. And he also had a fumble that he ended up recovering against the blitz where he had no idea this dude was coming when you watch the blitz. But what's interesting to me is in the Super Bowl, he was blitzed 18 times in 42 dropbacks. So he dropped back like way fewer times in this 2023 game. Can't do the math. 14 fewer times in this game, but was blitzed almost as much. So clearly, Steve Spagnuolo saw something in the Super Bowl that he couldn't handle the blitz, and he brought it even more in this last game. So obviously, a key to this Super Bowl is going to be, can Jalen handle the blitz? Do they have plans for it? And really, the toughest thing is the unscouted look. Spagnuolo is so good at unscouted looks. He brings things that no one has seen before. He does them at inopportune times for the offense, big plays in the game. So they have to be prepared for things they don't see, whether it's having a running back always out there, always in the flat, I should say, whether it's making sure a tight end is always there as a safety net, whether it's keeping a running back. Like, handling the blitz and the communication on making sure they're on the same page could very well decide this game. If the Eagles handle the blitz against the Chiefs, they can move the ball. Because the other thing that stands out when you watch these two games Eagles played against the Chiefs, AJ, Devontae, Dallas, even DeAndre Swift in this game, like, they make plays against the secondary. Quez didn't catch the ball in the Super Bowl, but he got open, right? Like, their skill players have won consistently in the two games against these Chiefs defensive players. So if they can handle the blitz, then I think they can absolutely win this game. So that's what stood out watching the 2023 game. They were not good against the blitz, and it really impacted them. Now, they were able to win it, but I don't think it was a formula for success. So another thing that stood out, the defensive changes. And this was similar in Super Bowl 2022 as well. But looking at the names that were out there on the field in the Super Bowl, in this 2023 game. So Bradley Roby out there, Eli Ricks out there, Sidney Brown out there, Zach Cunningham, Nicholas Moreau, Kevin Byard, James Bradbury. Like, none of these guys will even sniff the field. Obviously, Roby is not on the team. Eli Ricks won't play. Sidney Brown won't be out there on defense, barring a bunch of injuries. James Bradbury, like, we'll get a chance to talk to him tonight at media night. That'll be interesting. But Zach Cunningham, Nicholas Moreau, like, although Moreau's back now, they're just a way, 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 way more talented defense than they were last year. Like, that's the only way to say it. A way, way more talented defense. And when you watch this game, the defense actually wasn't terrible. Kevin Byard came away with that interception. But, like, they just have way more talent on defense now than they did in 2023. And they still did a pretty good job against the Chiefs offense, for what it's worth. There were obviously some drop passes by the Chiefs, but at the end of the day, like, they held him to what they held him to. So, but that is when you watch the 2023 game, just the changeover in personnel. In 2022, it's not as surprising. It's, you know, two full years at that point. But the job Howie did changing the personnel on this Eagles defense, really, really good. That's not breaking news. But it does stand out when you watch a game and Zach Cunningham's out there and, you know, just the players they relied on last year. Jordan Davis getting a ton of snaps. So it was it was noteworthy looking out there. So the one thing I will say that stood out is, like, Hassan Reddick had an awesome game that day. He had a sack on the second play of the game. And that is probably still the one thing I think this Eagles team is lacking, is that true, true elite edge rusher. Nolan Smith has been awesome in the playoffs. Josh Sweat, by the way, like, huge Josh Sweat poster here at the Super Bowl, which is very random, but good for Josh. But they don't have that elite, elite edge rusher. And you could see how having Hassan Reddick against what are average Chiefs tackles, and really still pretty average Chiefs tackles in this game, that is the one thing they still lack on this defense. And if they're able to add a true elite edge rusher this offseason, whether that be trading for Micah Parsons, trading for Max Crosby, maybe it's Myles Garrett, maybe it's hoping the Penn State guy drops to him, or they trade up, like, well, he's not going to drop to him, trading up for him. That's really the one thing this defense is still lacking. So it did stand out watching like what a true elite edge rusher can do for you. So the running game in this game, I actually thought was way better. DeAndre Swift had a few really big plays. Some of them came off of a catch, but DeAndre Swift had a good game. And like you watch Super Bowl 57, Miles Sanders is basically uninvolved. They play the whole game with backup running backs and they barely run it. In this game, having even DeAndre Swift, you could see how much that helped them move the ball on offense. And now, obviously, you go from Miles Sanders to DeAndre Swift to Saquon Barkley. Like, that's a pretty big upgrade. So I do watch these two games and think they can run on the Chiefs. Like, I do think they will run the ball at a high level in Super Bowl 59, especially now that they have Saquon. I had this vision on my flight here of like Saquon breaking loose and sprinting down the New Orleans turf, which he did in week three, but just the lights going off at the Super Bowl, like could be a pretty iconic moment there for Saquon. But definitely watching the 2023 game, the Eagles ran the ball. But the thing that stood out on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't think this is something obviously they have to worry about anymore, but man, the Chiefs, once again, Isaiah Pacheco, for an undersized running back, he was running through the Eagles again. And this Eagles defense is tougher, but that's two straight games where Isaiah Pacheco, I thought he did it in the Super Bowl, and I thought he had a good game in 2023. Pacheco's an underrated running back, and they really have had problems with him. So obviously this time around, it's not Zach Cunningham, it's not Moreau, it's not Bradbury. Like, they have different guys out there, but Isaiah Pacheco has done well. And, you know, they do kind of use the, like, Vic Fangio disciple system, like whether that's Gannon, Desai, like they like to use that type of system, and Pacheco's run well against it. So Pacheco, definitely something, or a player, I should say, to keep an eye on in this game. Like, if they can shut him down, that would be big. Because really, Mahomes, in the two games I watch, didn't, like, pick them apart at a crazy level. He made some really nice plays, and in the second half of the Super Bowl, he was good. But in the first half of the Super Bowl, he wasn't that great. And in 2023, when I watch it, just to my eyes, like, he was only okay. He had the interception to Kevin Byard, and I thought they actually did a decent job with him. So, speaking, though, of differences between the defense between now and 2023, the first touchdown they allowed to this game, the dude is wide open again. I think it was to Noah Gray, if I'm not mistaken. But that's like, what, three straight touchdowns they allowed between the end of the Super Bowl in 2022 and the start of this game in 2023, where guys were more wide open than any touchdown the Eagles allowed this year. I defended the 2022 defense, and I do think the 2023 defense was obviously a disaster. But man, it just really, really highlights how much better the 2024 defense is when you watch how wide open guys are in this game. So another thought from watching the game, Trent McDuffie's awesome, but last time he played this game, really both times, he's been in the slot. He plays on the outside now. Chiefs don't have L'Jarius Sneed anymore. I think McDuffie's great, but like, they haven't seen him as an outside corner, but Devontae won against him when they lined up against each other in the slot. Like, I thought Devontae had a good game against Trent McDuffie, so I really like that matchup. And you want to talk about like a Bet Parks over under, I think that they have a good chance, Devontae does, of hitting his over. I think he's going to have a very, very good game. So some other things that stood out from this game, Mahomes really hurt them more in the Super Bowl and in this game as a scrambler. Like, he had one play in this game where he's basically sacked by Fletcher Cox, but escapes and gets 12 yards. We all remember what he did in the Super Bowl. A big, big part of keeping Mahomes and this Chiefs offense is in check is winning the plays that go off script. Like, as good as Andy is as a head coach, and as good as Mahomes is reading defenses, knowing what he wants, the vast majority of plays in the NFL still go off script, and Mahomes is awesome at those plays. So when Mahomes is scrambling, like, they got to get him down like 1 or 2 yards after, ideally behind the line of scrimmage. But getting Zach Bond, and like, I don't know if they're going to use a spy, but Mahomes really hurt them as a scrambler. He did it again in 2023. And obviously, it's a big part of this Super Bowl. So one player that stood out on a positive note in both these games, Milton Williams, was awesome in the 2023 game, against the run especially. And I think he's set up to have a really good game. We'll talk about more of the matchups between the offense and defensive line on the other side of the commercial. But I do think Milton Williams has a really good matchup in this game. He's been playing really well recently. He has big game experience. I really, really like Milton Williams in this game. Travis Kelce got a super easy touchdown, not as wide open as some of the others, but he basically goes untouched. And this is the thing about Kelce. He's not the athlete he used to be. I think he would even tell you that. But he has such high football IQ and such good chemistry with Mahomes that you can just see he finds ways to get wide open. So that's the scary part about Kelce. He's not really the red zone threat he used to be. He scored a touchdown in this game, but only 3 touchdowns on the year. But now he really knows how to use that kind of veteran. It's almost like in basketball, a guy that, you know, a veteran player that knows how to score, even though he's not the athlete he used to be. Kelce does that in terms of getting open, and that stood out in this game as well. So the other thing that stood out in this game, their offensive line, the Eagles' offensive line, struggled with protecting Hurts. Chris Jones got a sack. McDuffie got a sack. Karlaftis. It felt like all game Hurts was running for his life. That'll obviously be a big part of this game. We will talk about the Chiefs' pass rush against the Eagles' offensive line later in the week. I think the Eagles have a better offensive line now, but a lot of the main characters are still there. Hurts, Lane, Mailata, Dickerson, Cam was at guard, now he's at center, and they're going up against a lot of the same characters. Spagnuolo, Karlaftis, Chris Jones, McDuffie on blitzes. So the Eagles have not done, you know, a good job protecting Jalen. They didn't do a good job in the Super Bowl either. So that's a key in this game. They got to be better against this Kansas City front seven in the blitzes than they were in the past game. So there was one other thing I wanted to say that stood out for this game. Watching the wide receiver screens they used to run all the time, where they would do it just way too much last year. They would throw one to Julio. He threw one to Devontae where he nearly got Devontae killed. The one to Julio got 0 yards. Have they ran a single wide receiver screen this year? Like, if they have, I feel like it has to be less than 10. Whereas it felt like last year they ran that play all the time. So that was just like a funny, like, wow, glad we don't have to live through and watch this again. So those would be some of my main takeaways from the game. Like, the Eagles can play with these guys. The skill players can win against these defensive backs. They got the skill players to make big plays, and now you add Saquon to that. But it is going to be about, like, handling the Spagnuolo blitzes. Do they see him coming? Do they recognize him from past games? When they're unscouted looks, are they able to get the protection right and get the ball out? That'll be huge. And then on the other side of the ball, the Eagles defense, they have way more talent, and they've done a pretty good job, I think, against the Kansas City offense in both games they played him. I know people will say in the Super Bowl they were awful, but they held him to 7 points in the first half, and they got a stop on the last drive. Obviously, the flag matters, and then the special teams basically gives up a touchdown. But you combine that performance with the 2023, where the defense, I think, did a pretty good job. Yeah, I think I have more optimism about their chances of stopping the Chiefs than I did prior to watching these two games. So on the other side, we are going to dive into the Eagles' defensive line versus the Chiefs' offensive line. And the Chiefs' offensive line, for as much as Andy is someone that focuses on offensive line, they're not in a great shape. So on the other side, we'll get into that. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so like I had just said, it's funny that the reason the Eagles are so focused on line play is because of Andy Reid. Andy came here with Joe Banner, and they focused on the line. It was how Andy taught them to build from the line out. It was an emphasis of his. John Runyon, Trey Thomas, Jason Peters. They had great, great offensive linemen. The Chiefs have really not been able to get to that point. The Chiefs, as a unit, play pretty well, but individually, they don't have the talent that other offensive lines this Eagles pass rush has faced this year. So let's get into the Chiefs offensive line and talk about some of the matchups and where I think the Eagles can win and when they might struggle. So first, as an offensive line, the Chiefs this year were 8th in pass block win rate. So they did a good job. Like, they were a top 10 offensive line when it came to just the individuals winning their pass blocking snaps, which is impressive because I don't think they have many top 10 offensive linemen. They certainly don't. I mean, I think they really only have one. It would probably be Creed Humphrey. The other ones, I think, are not top 10 at their position. Joe Thuney, when he's at guard, you could argue probably is. But no, I mean, to win at that at that rate is impressive considering the skills that they have. They're 7th in run block win rate, so they they do well run blocking, and that's shown with the way Isaiah Pacheco has ran all over the Eagles in the two games that they've played him over the past 2 years. Pro Football Focus has the Chiefs ranked 13th overall in offensive line pass blocking. So they're a top half the league pass blocking unit, and not a top 10 unit like some of the pass block win rate would make you think, but they are a top half the league pass blocking unit. Now, 21st in pressures allowed. So they allow pressure. They allowed 184 pressures this year, the 21st most in the NFL. So they did allow a lot of pressure. And the reason I think that's especially noteworthy is because Patrick Mahomes was 10th this year in quickest time to throw. He got it out there in an average of 2.79 seconds. So he got the ball out quick, and they still allowed pressure. Now, that's the tough thing, and I'll say overall when you talk about this Eagles pass rush versus the Chiefs offensive line. We'll talk about this from a matchup perspective, you know, Jalen Carter versus the right guard and all those things. But when you're going up against a Chiefs offensive line, you're also going up against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And I know when we talked about the 2022 Super Bowl leading up to it, it was, they're going to dominate. They're going to dominate. The pass rush is great. The Chiefs offensive line's not good. This is a big advantage. And I know the field is something people feel impacted at. But what also happened in that game, was that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid were able to get the ball out quickly and neutralize the pass rush. And you see them doing it this year. They are not a down-the-field throwing team. They get it out quickly. They don't throw the ball deep. The majority of Mahomes' throws are less than 10 yards. They dink and dunk down the field. They are comfortable with all that. So, like, when you look at this line, yes, the Eagles, I think, can have an advantage from a skill player, from their edges against these tackles, but Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are not just going to let Mahomes sit back there and get hit all game. Like, they are going to get the ball out quick. They're going to come up with schemes. So that's one thing with this line, is that while the Eagles can win individually, you're also going up against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Now, let's talk about the players on the Chiefs offensive line. First, the left side of their line has been an issue all year. They have a pretty good right side, decent, I would say, but the left side's been an issue all year. So they started the year cycling between Wanya Morris and Kingsley Suamataya. I'm definitely not pronouncing that right. I apologize, but shout out Kingsley, my dog's name. Great name. They started with both them at left tackle, but now we don't even have to talk about them because they no longer use either of them at left tackle. They signed DJ Humphreys at one point, tried to get him to play. When he did play, he got hurt. So they ended up moving Joe Thuney, their left guard, to left tackle. In his career, Thuney has played, or I should say this, sorry, this year, 896 snaps at left guard, 333 snaps at left tackle. He is barely, I don't think he ever took a snap at left tackle prior to this year. He's been predominantly a left guard. Now, he's played the last six games at left tackle, and he's been good. Like, he has been good this year at left tackle. If you look, the first game he played at left tackle ever, he gave up 10 pressures. New position, understandable. In the past six games, he's given up 7 combined pressures in those games. So he has been much better. He's giving up around 1 pressure a game. So he has improved and been good at that position. So while I do think it's a matchup Nolan Smith, that's who he'll be going up against, can win, because there's an inexperience there. There's also an inexperience with Nolan Smith, though. Like, he's still a relatively young player. Joe Thuney has played really well at left tackle. So don't look at the left side and think that all the cycling means they're bad at the position. They're not where they want to be, but Joe Thuney has played well this year. So the left side, like the tackle, I think Joe Thuney, again, like, not a weakness, but what the impact of this was, moving Joe Thuney from left guard to left tackle means they had to put Mike Caliendo in there in week 15. I can never say the name Caliendo without thinking of Frank Caliendo, but Mike Caliendo is their new starting left guard, and he's been really bad. He's been really, really bad. He's allowed 13 pressure, 9 hurries, 3 hits, and 1 sack, and 354 snaps. Like, just has not played well. Ranked 102nd overall by Pro Football Focus when it comes to guards. So the left tackle, they've seemed like they may have figured that out. The left guard is what has really hurt them. Now, here's where it gets interesting when it comes to matchups. Jalen Carter lines up almost exclusively on the right side. Almost all of his snaps this year have been on the right side in the defensive tackle spot. But the clear weakness is on the left side of this offensive line. So could they move Jalen Carter to that side? I'd be surprised, but it's definitely something to consider. Like, I want Jalen Carter doing the majority of his rushing Jalen Carter lines up on the left side, so he goes up against the right guard. That's what I meant to say. Jalen Carter lines up on the left side, so he goes up against the right guard. The Eagles should want Jalen Carter rushing up against Mike Caliendo. He's the weakness. And now the question is, will they move Jalen Carter? And if they don't, and he has a tougher matchup against Trey Smith, their right guard, will Milton Williams, who I talked about, has already played well against the Chiefs, will Milton Williams, will Moro Ojomo, will Jordan Davis, who almost sacked Mahomes in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, can they win the matchup? Can those three get pressure on Mike Caliendo and force, again, with the inexperienced left tackle, like collapse that left side of the line? So that is a big, big matchup in this game. Are they going to move Jalen Carter over there? And if they do, can he dominate it? And if they don't, will the players that are going to line up on that side, Ojomo, Milton Williams, Jordan Davis, can they dominate that matchup? So the key to this game is the left side of the line, and can they dominate that? Because the right side is better. Creed Humphrey, the center, is elite. I would think you see him double with Trey Smith on Jalen Carter. Now, Trey Smith, we talked about this with BLG, is good enough where you could see them try Jalen Carter 1-on-1 against Trey Smith and then put Creed Humphrey to help Mike Caliendo, and then you're getting, you know, guys that aren't used to being double teamed like Milton Williams doubled. So that's one way they could do it. And then right tackle Juwan Taylor, 41st in the league in Pro Football Focus. He's allowed 7 sacks this year. That's a matchup that that they should win. So yeah, I mean, I like the Eagles' edges against the tackles. As good as Joe Thuney has played, I do think Nolan Smith and Josh Sweat can win on the edges. I like the Eagles' defensive tackles winning against Mike Caliendo. The question is, where do they put Jalen Carter? Who's he going up against? And how? Who's able to win the matchup? But if Mike Caliendo and Joe Thuney win the left side, I think the right side is strong enough where then you're talking about some potential issues. Now, Mahomes gets rid of it quickly. They don't run well along developing plays. That impacts the pass rush's ability to get after the quarterback. But that's what it comes down to. The left side is the weakness. Can they take advantage of it? And if they don't, the right side is probably strong enough where they could have some issues. So I would give the Eagles the edge here in the defensive line. Or I should say the matchups I give it to. But overall, I'll believe Mahomes and Andy Reid allow a ton of pressure on Mahomes when I see it. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. So I think the Chiefs offensive line, including Mahomes and Andy, have the advantage over the Eagles defensive line. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. So pumped to be in New Orleans. So pumped to see you guys out here this week. And as always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.